1 Kings chapter 3, if you will, 1 Kings chapter 3. We do have our display there in the back. I encourage you to take one of our prayer cards and pray for us and pray for the Navajo people, if you will, and our people are very important to us, and that's where God has called my family and I to go back to our people there on the Navajo Indian Reservation and to start churches. And we've been on deputation. We've are finished with deputation. The Lord has raised our support with 1 year of deputation. And the Lord has been so good to us, been so kind, and He's just been blessing so many things, and we've don't understand why, but you know, we'll take it. Amen. And that's just part of being a child of God. It's just amazing what God can do in your life if we just get in on it. And we've just finished out our deputation here, and we're going to be starting a church in Window Rock, Arizona. We are going to have our first services on September 11th, a little less than a month from now. We are getting ready for that. And we're going to be meeting in a hotel conference there in Window Rock for a little bit. And we are working on obtaining property there in Window Rock. And if you would pray about this situation, we are dealing with purchasing a land for the church. And it's amazing how God works all these things out. Before, you see, Window Rock and on the reservation, it's hard to get land. You can't purchase it or anything because it's all trust land. And we knew coming into Window Rock, it was going to be hard to get land. And to obtain land, you have to find private land or, you know, find someone with grazing land and, you know, kind of convince them to give it over to you for a church. And that's kind of hard to do out there. But with that process, it takes about 2 years to do that, to obtain a, you know, a church site. And this is a long, difficult situation. But we already knew that coming into going into Window Rock, and we were praying about having getting us property and getting ready for the church and whatnot. And then there came an opportunity. There was a guy who was selling 3.8 acres of land. 3.8 acres on that land. It's very, very good land, and it was private. And he had it for residential, he had it for commercial. And there was already a building on there. There was a 5,000 square foot building. It was a home, but they never finished it. It's very nice. It's a log, like a log building with the metal roof. Man, it's an awesome place. And they already had natural gas there. They already had the electric. They already had the septic. They had the plumbing, and everything was already there. So praise the Lord. One of the church plants on the reservation, Noslini Solid Rock, when they started that church, they had to connect everything, and it cost them about over $30,000 to run electricity to put into septic, and they had to, because out there it's a very rural, and they had to run it out that way, and it was very expensive. But with this land, it was already there, and the guy was selling 3.8 acres for $770,000, and we're like, wow, man, it's all right, moving on. You know, what else can we find? But then he zoned it in two different areas. He's kind of split that 3.8 acres in half. So we asked about the cheaper side of the land, if you will. So he says, well, we have that for $260,000 for 1.7 acres, $270,000, $60,000. So right away he said, you know what? I'll knock off $60,000. We'll give it to you for $200,000. For 1.7 acres, man, that's a lot of money. A lot of money. And he goes, well, this is what we need. And we kind of sat down, whatnot. Well, I just sit down. There's another guy who's helping us do that. So he's dealing with that now. And so we got it down to $155,000. But on the other lot, there was a double-wide modular building. I said, well, let's tell you what, we'll give you this amount. And then if we'll take this modular and we'll move it to this lot. And we have a deal. He goes, well, we need $40,000 down. It's okay, $40,000 down. And my family, since we began deputation, we began to save money. So we saved $25,000 on deputation stuff. And then on the last meeting we had in Tennessee, I preached and stuff. And the preacher says, Brother Nazia, he goes, won't you come back up? And he goes, Brother Nez, you've been a blessing, and we're not able to take you on for support right now, but we want to help you. And he hands me a check for $15,000. And there was a $15,000 that we needed to make $40,000. So he gave us $15,000, so we have $40,000. We told him, call the guy, say, hey, we have a down payment. So we're kind of going back and forth at it. I believe this is God's will for us to get this land. And he's provided the funds for it, so we're kind of waiting on that right now. But in the meantime, we're going to be meeting in a hotel, a conference room for just a little bit until we get that situated. And we just went soul winning there the other day. We were able to see three saved there in Winter Rock, and they're excited for the church to be coming. And so September 11th is going to be our first services. We ask that you pray for us. And in that situation there, where I'm getting nervous about it, and we just telling the Lord, just give me one person, and I'll be good one person. Just have one person come in, I'll preach to that person. And so if you would pray for us on that situation, and also if you would pray for the land situation as well. But here's the thing about that as well, is once we close the deal on that, once we sign for it, we have 30 days from the time we sign to get the electric, get the plumbing, get the sewage, get all that stuff hooked up. We have 30 days to do that. And it's going to be, if you know how the Navajo tribe works, it's going to be a long shot. It's going to be difficult. But if you would pray for that as well, I would really would appreciate that, and pray for wisdom for me. And so a lot of good things are going on there at Winter Rock. We had our first VBS back in June. We're able to see 14 saved during the VBS there. And we also included a rodeo revival in the evening service, and we were able to see six saved from that revival in the evening service. So the Lord really blessed there. And so there's wonderful things going on in the reservation. We are just excited. We're getting nervous, and but we're just excited to be part of the Lord's ministry. And I just encourage you guys to get in on it. You know, serving the Lord. I mean, He'll do wonderful things in your life. And we mentioned that this morning, is that we do more for the Lord. And so if you would take one of our prayer cards, pray for us, and we would certainly appreciate that. First Kings chapter 3, and if you go to verse number 1, if we would stand on of God's word, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem around about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days." And here's verse number three. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for an opportunity to preach. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the ministries. Lord, we thank you for the pastor and his family. And Lord, I pray you would do wonderful works, Father, in this place. Lord, there would be a light, Lord, in this community, Father. You would use them in a tremendous way. And Lord, I pray, Father, each and every one of us would listen on purpose this morning. And Father, we know that we are not perfect. Lord, we struggle with certain things, with sins. We struggle with so many things in our life that hinders us, and we feel so little because of these things, and that prevents us from seeing the big picture, seeing things as you see them. And Lord, I pray that this message would be a help, Father, to each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would help me to speak, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord." And loved the Lord. He did all that he could, and he wanted to build a house for the Lord. He did that, and he says here in verse number 5, "And Gideon of the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee." So he says, he goes to Solomon. He says, "Solomon, what do you want? Because what can I give thee? What do you want? What can I do for you?" And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed me unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou has kept him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne at this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for a multitude. Give thee, therefore, thy servant understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people? So here we see Solomon, verse 3 says he loved the Lord. And it's very important for us to, each of us, to love the Lord because of all the things that he's given us. And then he says, Solomon in verse 5, what shall ask what I shall give thee? And Solomon in verse 6, he says, you've given my father David great mercy because he walked in truth and in righteousness, and he had an uprighteous heart. And he says in verse number 7, it says, now, O Lord my God, because thou hast made thy servant. So he considers, Solomon considered himself a servant. A servant to the Lord. And that's what we ought to be as for God, is to be servants to him. And, you know, it's very important that we have this servitude attitude. Is what can I do for you, Lord? What can I do for you? Not for me, but what can I do for you? And he called himself a servant. He says, Lord, I don't know much. He says, I feel like I'm a little child. He goes, I don't know how to go out or how to my good. He says, I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any knowledge to judge your people. I don't have the knowledge and how to be a king. You've made me a king, but I don't know how to do that. Lord, I need your mercy. I need your kindness. I need your knowledge. I need your wisdom. And because I'm your servant. So he says, I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge thy so great of a people. And in verse 10 it says, and thy speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast asked not for thyself long life, neither has asked for riches and for thyself, nor asked for life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. It says, behold, I have done according to unto thy words. So, Lord, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none to be none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So Solomon says, I need wisdom. I need to know how to judge people. The Bible says that he loved the Lord, didn't he? Didn't the Bible say that? He started out very well. He started out very good. He had a humble heart. He had a humble spirit about him. He loved the Lord. He acknowledged him. He built a house for him, a temple for him. And he said, Lord, I'm your servant. Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. But Lord, I need your help. I need you in my life. I want you to guide me in my decision making. I want to be able to judge between good. I want to be able to know good between good and bad, because I cannot do that. You did that for my father, and I want you to do that for me. And the Lord was very pleased of what Solomon had asked. He says, not only did I will give you an understanding heart to lead my people, but he says, I will also give you riches, because you asked for the right thing. He says, I'll give you riches and I'll give you honor. And he says, there was going to be no one like you after you. So Solomon here, he started out very well. He started out in a good place. He started out in a right time, in a right place, and he had a right heart. He had a humble spirit. He will look to God, not himself, but he looked to God and he asked God, he begged God, Lord, what will give? I need your wisdom. And each and every one of us started out in a good place. We started out as a young child, and we've We grew up and we wanted to pursue good things. We wanted good things in our life. Our life was not yet wrecked by sin or wrong decision making, but we started out in a very good place, didn't we? We started in a very good place. We wanted to do good things. We wanted to go places in our life. But from where we started, and then we're going to get to this point here. And I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. So we see that, number one, there was a good start. There was a good start. Then you go to 1 Kings chapter 11. And then go to verse number one. The Bible says, But King Solomon loved many strange women. So he went from loving the Lord here in chapter 3. Solomon loved the Lord. Then we come to chapter 11. He says, but King Solomon loved many, not one, but he says many strange women. And then he says here in verse number 2, in the nations concerning which of the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So God says, hey, don't bother with that thing. Don't bother those women. Don't leave them alone. That's sin. That's sinful. That's going to ruin your life. That's going to turn you away from me. You're going to look away from me. You're going to go in another direction if you go in this direction. And he told Solomon that. He warned him about that. And he started out where Solomon had loved the Lord. Then he ended up, he was going, I think he kind of got prideful. He kind of got prideful. He goes, hey man, I got so much in my life. Man, I got so much honor. Man, I got all these riches. I got these temples. Man, people are coming from all over the world to build this for me. And man, I got control. Man, I'm smart. Man, I've got so many things going on. I got the gold. I got the silver. I got the chariots. I got the servants. I got the maids. Man, I'm king of the world. I got all these things that I got to his head. Pretty soon, the Bible says that he went from loving the Lord, and he says he loved many strange women. The Lord said unto him, the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn your heart after their gods. But Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. So he only loved many strange women. He had 700 wives, bless his heart. Princes and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Now look at verse number 9. It says, and the Lord was very angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. What a tragic in life when Solomon had started out very good, very well. He had the right attitude, had the right spirit, humble spirit. But then he started to go through life and he started to get prideful. That prideful got into his heart. Can I tell you that pridefulness is very dangerous? It's very dangerous to think that you can go through life by yourself. It is very dangerous for you and I to think that we can handle our problems on our own, that we have the ability, that we have the talent, that we have the strength to deal with our sins, that we have our own power to do what we want to do rather than have what God would have us to do. It is so dangerous for us, this pridefulness to come into our heart. You know, that's what brought Lucifer down from heaven. I mean, Lucifer was one of the highest angels of God's creation, but yet he got cast out of heaven because of pridefulness. Pridefulness can be a dangerous thing. It can take away your heart from the Lord. It can take away your passion. It can take away your compassion. It can take away your vision. It can take away your walk. And it's so dangerous to have pridefulness in your heart. Because that will turn us away from the Lord. That will turn us away from things of God and from a peaceful life and a joyful life and a good life and a Christian life. But because of pridefulness, Solomon became very prideful. He began to love many strange women. God became second place in his life. God was number one at one time, but yet he became number two in his life. The Bible does say, there shall be no other gods before me. So God was very upset at him. But it didn't seem to bother Solomon because he had pridefulness. He no longer worshiped the Lord. He no longer did the good things for God because of pridefulness. His heart was turned away from those things. His heart, his compassion, he lost all of that. And if you turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes, and this is one of the saddest books in the Bible, is Ecclesiastes. And in this chapter, in this book here, we see that Solomon was now at this point in his life. Remember, he started out very good here. He loved the Lord. He was right. He was in this position here. He loved the Lord. He worshiped Him. He did all good things for Him. But as he went through life, he began to be very prideful. God became second place in his life. He started to make the wrong decisions. He started to make wrong, bad decisions, basically. Then he comes to this point in his life and he looks back. He looks back and he's just embarrassed. He's ashamed. He's ashamed of what he's done in his life, the decisions that he's made. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the Bible here, it says in verse number 12, it says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So he's no longer king at this point. He's no longer that person that God had used mightily. The guy that God had given wisdom, given him riches, given him honor. All of those things that God has blessed him with. He forgot about how good God was to him. Then he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Then he says, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. When he says under heaven, he's talking about things that are under the sun, talking about earthly things. He's not talking about heavenly things. He's talking about things here on earth. See, the earthly things was the thing that brought him away from the Lord. He says, I gave my heart. His heart was no longer to the Lord. He says, it was my heart. And it's very dangerous for you and I to say, it's my heart, it's my life. This is my body, this is my marriage, and this is my kids, and this is my decision. This is my job. This is my money. This is my way. You're being selfish, and I'm being selfish when we have that kind of attitude. And Solomon here had this attitude. He says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This is sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therein. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And look at verse 16. It says, I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. In verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom. Remember, he was talking about under the sun. He goes, I know to know wisdom. He thought he had it figured out. He said, I know all things. He said, I know how to deal with this kind of thing. Hey, I'm strong enough. Hey, I'm big enough. Hey, I have these talents. I can do this. But yet, look where he ended up. He had that kind of attitude. He started out good, but yet he ended up bad. Because he said he had his own wisdom. He thought he could do everything in his own power. He thought he could go through life by himself. He thought he could go through life by his own ways, by his own merits, by his own wisdom. He thought he had it all figured out. It's funny when you ask a lot of teenagers, you always say, yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. That's all they know is I know, I know, I know. I said, no, you don't. I said, hey, your pants is about to fall off. Yeah, I know. You know, like, hey, you know what? You know you're making some dumb decision? Yeah, I know. And it's annoying. And I say, no, you don't know. That's why I'm telling you. See, Solomon had this attitude. He said, I gave my heart to no wisdom. He was prideful. If you go with me to Proverbs 16:18, the book right before Ecclesiastes, Proverbs 16:18. Here's what the Bible says. 16:18, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So pride goeth before destruction. Go with Proverbs 29:23. The Bible here says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So pride is a very dangerous thing to deal with. And he says, not only did he give his heart to no wisdom, he says, to no madness and folly, I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. And we talked about how we ought to do more for the Lord. We talked about how we can do more for God and how we can have an abundant life. And Solomon had every opportunity to do just that. And we have every opportunity to do just that. You know, when I remember when I grew up in life, I always wanted to be a police officer. I always wanted to be in the military. And I think I would be able to do those things. But can I tell you, because of dumb decisions in my life, because of the mistakes that I made in my life, because of the drunkenness, because of the wrong friends and the drugs and alcohol and the party life and the bars and just doing dumb things in life and making decisions, saying, you know what, man, I can handle this drink, I can handle this drug, I can handle this, I can handle this situation, I can handle this marriage, I can be a husband, I can be a father, I can do all these things. I thought I had it all figured out. But I come to realize I didn't have it figured out. And I came to a point where I started out very well as a young kid. I didn't say I didn't want it to be a drunk. I didn't say I wanted to be a jail. I didn't say I wanted to be a loser. I'm going to grow up to be a loser. I'm going to grow up to be a nobody. I'm going to grow up to be a drunk. I'm going to grow up to be a nobody. I'm going to be a loser. I didn't say those things. But it's because of pridefulness, because of wrong decisions in your life, we ended up here, don't we? We end up here because of the foolish decisions in our life. Because we think we have it all figured out. We don't need this Bible. That we don't need this church. We don't need to listen to that pastor. We don't need to listen. We don't need to give. We don't need to clean the church. We don't need to come to church on Wednesday. We don't need to come tonight. Man, I got it all figured. I know what I need to deal with. I'll deal with my own way. Hey, I'm going to handle my, these are my sins. This is my life. I can handle this on my own. I can do whatever I want to do. No preacher, no Bible, no church going to tell me. No God can tell me what to do. I'm going to do everything my way. Can tell you, friend, if you have that kind of attitude, Lord help you.
Yeah.
Lord help you. And you young folks, you listen to me. It is amazing in this generation how our young people are so caught up of this world today. Just by they have to dress this way, they have to listen to this, they have to talk like this, and they have to act like this.
Right. Well,
they have to, it's just an idol, what I call an idol of acceptance.
Yeah.
They're so strung up in that. You know what, you know what's at the end of that road? Disappointment. You know what's at the end of that road? Discouragement. You know what's the end of that road? Embarrassment. Because none of those things will ever help you in life. It's vanity.
That's right.
It's vexation of spirit. Those things will hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. And the Bible is so amazing. It tells us, it gives us stories of how God deals with men. And these are teachings that God says, hey, read the Bible and find out for yourself what happens when you do this. What happens when this is in your life? Because we think we have it figured out. You think you have it figured out because this is my life, this kind of attitude. The Bible says, Solomon said, this is vexation of spirit. My knowledge was nothing. It was vanity. It was empty. It was meaningless. Was that wisdom, earthly wisdom? Because you and I have no ability. We're just dumb as sheep. You know that?
Yep.
I mean, we're easily just led astray that quickly. Because something catches our eyes, something's our pleasant to the eye of the flesh, the pride of life. These things catch our eye, and that's what the devil uses. It's funny how the devil really knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows what you like. He knows your weak spots. And without prayer, without Bible, without church, we leave that door wide open for him. He comes in, he devours you, he discourages you, he kills, he destroys. He'll do that to your life. Exactly what happened to him. Because Solomon said, my wisdom, search out my wisdom. Not only with wisdom, but look in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. See, Solomon had earthly wisdom. Then he had pleasure. Things of the world. Things of the world. I mean, everything nowadays is so sexual. Commercials, TV, magazines, billboards, everything is just so vile and so wicked. And it's so easy to get caught up in those kind of things because of the world. There's nothing in the world that's ever, it's not worth it. I tried the drugs, I tried the booze, I tried that life. Where did it get me? Nothing. Where did it get me? Discouragement, embarrassment, nothing. Nearly lost my wife, nearly lost my marriage because of that. Because I gave my life to the world. Because I gave my heart to, you know, go to the world, pleasures, things of the world. The fun, you know, the friends, the job. Job becomes more important than family. Job becomes more important than church. The job is first in your life. Family, there's nothing wrong with family. I thank God for family. But don't make me, you reach them, you help them, you pray for them. But things of the world, it's easy to get caught up in that kind of junk. And that will take you away from the Bible, that will take you away from church, that will take you away, take you out of God's will. And that's what happened to Solomon here. It says, I said in my heart, go to now approve thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Then look at verse 3, and I sought my heart to give myself unto wine. So he says in verse 18, he says, verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom. Number one. Number two was pleasure, world. The number three was wine. He gave his heart to know wine. You see, drugs and alcohol, those are a way of escape. I drank a lot. I began to drink when I was like 9 years old. I became an alcoholic there on the reservation. And I did those things because not peer pressure or just to try, because I tried to fit in or anything like that. I started to drink because I felt like no one cared about me. I did drugs because I felt like no one cared about me. That I never existed to anybody. And I wondered, why my family was like this, why my mom, my dad weren't around. And I ran to drugs, I ran to alcohol because I felt like no one cared about me. That was my way of escape. That was my way of getting away just for a little bit. Now, can I tell you that's vanity? That's vexation of spirit, because after I got off that high, after I got sobered up, that problem was still there.
That's right.
But not only was it still there, but it was even worse. Now, because I've drank all the rent money away, there was no food for my family, no Pampers, no nothing. I said, oh boy, what do I do? And I go back to drinking and kill that again. See, it's all vexation of spirit. See, these are all things under the sun. We know we live in a wicked, vile world. That's where we are. But if you're saved today, this is not your home.
Amen.
You're just a passing through. You don't belong in those places. You don't belong here in this world. You're not part of it. We are to be a light in this world. We are to be the salt of the earth. But when we get caught up in these things, we start out good. We get saved and we get right with God. We turn our life, and somewhere along the way, we start to lose focus on God. We start to lose our Bible. We stop coming to church. We stop giving. And then we come up to where Solomon ended up. Not only did this happen to Solomon, go back to Ecclesiastes and go to chapter number 2, and then go to number 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." Because of all these three things, Solomon said, "I hated life. I hated life." When you get caught up in the world, guess what? You're going to hate church. You're going to hate the Bible.
That's right.
You're going to hate coming to church. You're going to hate praying. You're going to hate giving. You're not even going to do those things anymore. Why? Because you hate it. Why? It becomes, "I have to do this." You have the wrong spirit about it.
Yeah.
You have the wrong attitude about it. You come just to clear a conscience. You come just to get the pastor off your back. Just get your wife or your husband off your back, or get your mom or your dad off your back. You come here just to be here. Not because you love the Lord.
Come on, amen.
Not because you're serious of your salvation that God's freely given you. Because you've taken it for granted. Because you think you can figure everything out on your own. Because you're smart enough. That I'm smart enough. And when things get bad, you run to the drugs, you run to the bars, you run to the drugs, you run to your friends. You run to the families that give you bad advice. You run to those that hurt you. You run back to your old ways and your old life. You go back to what God had taken you out of. And you go back to those things. Then you're going to hate life. You're going to hate what you're doing. You're going to hate the things of God. You're going to hate those things. Why? Because you allow the devil in your heart. You allow the devil in your mind. You allow the devil in your thoughts. Of your action, he takes hold of you. And you're going to hate life. And you're going to, where you started out good, because of pridefulness, because of your own wisdom, because of the pleasures of the world, because of wine, because of all these things that God tells us not to get involved in them, but we do it anyways. We end up coming here, and then you're going to end up hating life. You're going to end up hating church. You're going to end up hating your parents, saying they're too strict. You're going to end up hating the Bible. You're going to end up hating your marriage, your job. You're going to end up hating things in life. And you're going to go down in a downward spiral quick. That's what's going to happen, folks. I guarantee it. When we allow the devil, when we allow the world to influence in your life. You see, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people on the reservation, a lot of people. They don't want to come to church. Why? Because they're out in the world. They'd rather have those things. That's their pleasure. That's their wisdom. Can I tell you, all of those people, they're miserable. They hate life. They blame God for the life they choose. The homeless hates God. Those people in jail, they hate God. They blame other people. But yet you choose to be here. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
You made that choice to be here. And I praise because you love the Lord. And I pray because you love the Lord so much that you're never going to miss with these things that we talked about. Because those will only hurt you in your life. Those things they prevent you from being a Christian. They prevent you from being something special. Don't get caught up in those things. Stay away from those things. They're not good for you. See a TV commercial about, when football is on, You see these beer commercials, right? These Bud Light commercials. Man, you see a beautiful woman, real nice looking guy. Man, their grasses, their lawn is real perfect. White picket fence. Beautiful house. Really clean grill with real nice thick steak. Big fat hamburgers. Nice little dog. Man, they're throwing the football, throwing the frisbee. Clean shirt. Nice haircut. Everything's perfect. It's just an innocent beer. It's just a little bit fun. It's not going to hurt anybody. See, that's how the world portrays sin.
That's right.
Yep. It's how it portrays that lifestyle. But you don't see in the background. Don't see our people. It doesn't show their brains scattered all over the train tracks.
Come on.
Doesn't show them. Little kid, little girl, come in no shoes. No mama, no dad. Daddy left. Daddy's in jail. Don't show that. He don't show them. Navajo man being frozen to death. We'll show that. It'll show that drunk tank in Gallup where the bodies are scattered with drunk Indians because of alcohol.
Come on,
it'll show that. It'll show them urinate on themselves.
Come on.
It'll show them throwing up on themselves. How the wives have black eyes and beat up because of domestic violence. Someone got raped, someone got beat up, someone got killed, someone got murdered. Someone lost their family. Doesn't show that stuff. See, a lot of Christians are running to that junk.
Come on, that's right.
A lot of teenagers are running to that junk. Thinking that's what's good, that's what life is about. Thinking that's where all their answers are about. Thinking that's where the fun's at. That church is no fun. We have to dress like this, we have to act like this, we have to sing this. There's too many rules. I have to give all my money to them. There's too many standards. There's no fun. There's no liberty. We think that way. Where God has given you salvation, giving you everlasting life. He's given you something so special. It's much more precious than gold or silver.
Amen.
Nothing in this world can ever give you what God can give you. Nothing in this world can ever pay for what God's given you. There's no gold enough in the world to ever replace what God's given you. No money in the world can ever buy what God offers. And that's salvation. And that's that more abundant life. Don't make that mistake where you start good and you come to church. Keep coming to church. Keep reading your Bible. Keep being faithful. Keep giving. Keep praying. And as you're going through your race in life, because God's given us a race, He's given us, we've enlisted, you have your own race. And as you're racing through life, don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in your own wisdom. Don't get caught up in the pleasures of the world. Don't get caught up in wine. Don't get caught up in drugs. Don't get caught up in stuff that hinders your life. End up here. Solomon looks back and says, man, I made some foolish decisions. I made some mistakes in my life. Yes, we are not perfect. The Bible teaches there was none righteous, no, not one. Also teaches us that we all come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We understand that. You ask my wife, I'm not perfect. Your pastor is not perfect. You're not perfect. We make mistakes. I get it. But when we make these mistakes, you ought to fall on your face and ask God for forgiveness. You ought to fall on your face and ask God, Lord, keep me going. Don't let me turn back to my old ways.
Amen.
Don't let me go back to what you saved me from. That I go and I finish my race strong. That I be able to make a difference in my family. that I'll be able to go back to my home and I can be an influence to my little brother or my sister or my family, my aunt or my grandmother, my grandfather. That I want to see them saved. Finish strong, Christian. And can I encourage you, if you're here this morning, you started out good. You started out good in life. You start out good and you've made some mistakes in your life. Can I tell you that God will forgive you of those sins? So, Brother Naz, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've seen. You don't. There's no way that God can ever forgive you. He's forgiven me. I was a sorry drunk Indian who cared about nobody, who hated people, who hurt people, who despised people. I didn't care about my family. I didn't care about them. But yet He still saved me. He still used me. And He can use you today, friend. Don't wander off into the world and ruin your life just for a moment's of pleasure. But you run your race for the glory of God. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Can I tell you? The world has nothing to offer you.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I live there. I've been there. There's nothing to offer you. But God offers you so much more. He'll give you peace. He'll give you love. He'll be your friend. He'll give you so much more that you'll be amazed of how good He'll be to you. He'll be there with you. He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. And when that day comes, when we die, I know when I die, then I'm going to go to heaven because I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. There is a time that each and every one of us will perish. There is going to be a day that comes where God says, your time is up. Either going to be going to heaven or to a place called hell. See, God created hell not for you, not for me. But God has created hell for the devil and his angels. But sadly, people choose to go to hell. They choose that life because it's fun, because there's liberty, there's no bosses, there's no accountability, nothing in the world. But can I tell you, you live that life, that's what your heart belongs to, that's where we get your wisdom from. You end up in a place called hell. They don't have to be like that, friend. You can come today. You can ask, say, Jesus, I know that I've sinned. Then I know that I deserve hell because of what I've done in my life. But Lord, I come to you as a sinner in need of forgiveness. And will you forgive me and come into my heart? See, it's that simple. You come to know Jesus Christ. And He'll give you something that you will never lose. He'll give you a gift that is free. And that you'll have everlasting life. So when you die, you'll go to heaven and you'll be with Him forever. See, that's where God wants you to be, with Him in heaven. He doesn't want you to be in hell. He doesn't want you to suffer. He did all the suffering for you. He already paid the penalty of sin for you. Why are you trying to do it yourself? Why are you trying to go through life without Him? You know you made mistakes. You know where you'll end up. You know it's wrong to do those things, but yet you do it anyways. But can I just say to you today that God offers you salvation. It's free. All you ought to do is come when the invitation comes. You come, you kneel down at the altar. Get with your pastor, get with someone, say, I need to be saved. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. How you can have that more abundant life. We can show you how God has forgiven you. And how God had died for you because He loved you. that much that He went on the cross, He died, He paid your sin debt for you, and He paid it for me. And the life of the world, life of all that stuff, all that gunk out there, it's not worth it. But you can come today and you can look back and say, man, I made some mistakes. Yeah, I made mistakes as well. But can I tell you, God is faithful to forgive you. We all made mistakes in life. But will you be honest with yourself this morning and say, man, I need to get right with the Lord. Man, I realize that I'm not going in the direction where God wants me to go. I'm not being faithful in certain areas. I'm not being submissive in certain areas. I mean, I need to get right today. You have an opportunity today to come to know Christ. And you have an opportunity to come to maybe rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe there was a message this morning that God spoke to you about. Maybe it's a hidden sin in your life. And it's just eating you alive. Can I tell you that's going to be a vexation of spirit? Holding on to that sin in your life is just going to be, it's vanity. There's no use hanging on to your sins. Your pastor said it, it'll find you, it's going to find you. Sins will find you out. But it's so easy to get up. Just come and just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, will you forgive me? Lord, I've taken my eye off you. Man, I haven't been praying enough to you. I haven't been faithful. Man, I want to do more for the Lord. I know I'm saved, but I want to do more. Or I say, man, I'm not saved. Realize I'm a sinner today. That I need to be saved.